I want to start this morning just by welcoming the Holy Spirit. We've prayed in the Holy Spirit, but let's just welcome here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We say, have your way in this place this morning. And Father, we say, have your way in our lives. It's you we want to see, Father. It's you we want to hear speaking. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher of the people and that people don't have to just hear me talk with physical words that are spoken, but they hear what you're saying to them today so that we may leave here washed in the water of the word. And we say we will never be the same again in Jesus' name. All right. This morning, I want to continue on talking about what I had the last two or three times, happening faith. And for those of you who may not have been here, we showed a picture of a lady back in 19, was born in 1911. She was a female aviatrix and she was accomplished all kind of records and world records and did crazy things like flying under bridges at New York when she was 15 and 16 years old. And I found a quote that she had back when I was in business that I was directing people. And she said, it has long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sit back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things. So I'm talking about these sessions, the past two, and probably go one more, about happening faith. And I want to start today by saying, where he said they went out and happened to things, I want to tell you that's what your words spoken in faith will do also. Those words will go out and happen to things. Things will be changed. Now let me do a quick review. We talked about that if you're going to operate this way, you've got to be bold. You've got to be bold to have have confidence to speak. We looked at a bunch of cases of healing since we're in healing school where people were bold when they came to Jesus. Boldness is not a character trait. People equate boldness, well, I'm just not that way. Boldness is you having confidence in your God that He's going to do what He said He would do for you. Not just for anybody else, not just for the church at large, but it's got to be personal. And when you know that, then you're going to be bold. And one of the things I believe we'll do is speak. We looked at Hebrews 4:16, kind of anchored ourselves there. And listen how it says we're supposed to come to the throne of grace. This is the Amplified. We're supposed to come fearlessly, confidently, and boldly. And what do we do there? We receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can go boldly in that confidence to His throne to take those things. Now we also talk from 2 Peter 1:3 that says He has given us, hath given, past tense, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now what that says to me is when Jesus says it is finished, that work was perfectly perfect and completely complete. There's nothing else that pertains to life and godliness that Jesus has to do for us today. It is a done deal. Now, does that include healing? What does 1 Peter 2:24 say? By His stripes you were healed. Past tense, looking back to the cross. In Isaiah, it talks about we are looking forward to the cross, but we're looking back to that finished work. I want you to turn to 1 John with me. I want to look at two scriptures that we kind of closed with the last time. 1 John 4. And we're going to talk from verse 16. The word boldness and the word confidence in the New Testament is the same word. So I'm going to use confidence a lot today because I think that expresses more of what we're after today. In 1 John 4:16, it says, by this, talking about the fact in, excuse me, let me just 17. By this, talking about what 16 has told us, love is perfected in us. Now that word perfected means what? Completed. So you don't have to ask for more. That love is in there already. We just got to become aware of it. We got to be in touch with our spirit where it resides. But it says that love is perfected us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment or punishment, some say, because He, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, the part I want to focus on is that we have confidence in that day of judgment. How can we have confidence in that day of judgment when everybody else is fearing what's going on? Because how are you looking at the cross? You're looking back to the cross. Therefore, your judgment has already been made, and it was placed all on Jesus. So when He comes back, we don't have to fear judgment. We go confidently to Him, which says I can go confidently to Him now because my judgment's in my past. If I mess up in the future, guess what? My judgment's in my past. And that allows me the freedom to feel and go in right standing in righteousness to the throne to obtain what I need. So that's the first confidence that we have there. So the second one, though, look over in the next chapter in 5:14. And verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence we have." And then I want to look at this phrase. This is one that jumped out at me as I was studying. This is a confidence we have before Him. It's not you being confident because of who you think you are, how spiritual you think you are, or how good you think you are, or how much you deserve anything. It's confidence that we have before Him because of Him. And because of that, we can go boldly. We need to see ourselves as He sees us, righteous, with that white robe on, not looking over our shoulder, because what's the devil going to bring up? Your past. Yes, that was me. But today, I've been made righteous. I've been made worthy to go. So it says, this is the confidence which we have before Him or in His presence, that we, if we ask anything according to His will. Now let me stop there. The word ask there is aiteo, A-I-E-T-E-O in the Greek. And some people will translate it as demand. And that sits in the craw of a lot of people. The best example of this I know for this word is to make a request. Before BJ and I got married, and for 3 months after we were married, before we moved to Atlanta, we both worked at Georgia Power Company. I was co-oping and she was working in the warehouse. All the... Well, it was the office, yeah. She was working in the office of the warehouse. She was doing all the record keeping. So what I want to say is that when the guys who are going out and doing the work, when they had a need, they would get a listing of all the equipment they were going to use. And what would they do? They would take it to the warehouse and they would submit that requisition. They would submit that request, knowing what? That because I had work to do, I'm going to get what I asked for. That, in effect, is making a demand on what has already been given to us. That's the same way we are today. We've got work to do, and we know, when we know the will of God, we're going to see that we can go to that throne and ask or request, take, is literally what lambano means, the word that was used in Hebrews 4:16. We can take what we need. So, if we ask anything according to His will, how do we know His will? Right here. The Word. And if we know that He hears us, so if we ask anything according to His will, what do we know? That He hears us. So if we ask, we know that He, and we know He hears us in whatever we ask, because we're doing what? We're asking His will. We know we have the request that we're asking for. That is the confidence that we go to Him with. It's not a confidence of, Lord, I need you to do this. If it's a promise, it is granted to you already. It is a done deal. So, that's where we kind of closed the last time. And then we had 2 weeks of trade teaching on the spirit of faith and the spirit of fear. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 4:13, because we're going to pick up where he was, because it's set up perfectly what I wanted to talk about today, and that is faith-filled words happen to things. So 2 Corinthians 4:13. Matter of fact, let's back up to verse 7 and start in verse 7. Verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure do we have in this earthen vessel? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Dwelling where? In me. Is that a partial Holy Spirit or is that the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Look down at verse 10. Verse 10 says, we're always carrying about in the body the dying of Christ. That what? The life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. That the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. The next verse talks about that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So I am interested in when we're teaching healing to see the word work so that healing manifests in this mortal flesh of each one of us that has a need. And it goes on down then in verse 13, which is where Trey talked about it. And if you didn't hear it, you need to go back and listen to both of them. And it says, but having that same spirit of faith. So let's just review a quick second. Having the same spirit of faith is who? David is the one this was written about, but he's prophesying about the future. So we can say of Jesus, of the disciples, we having the same spirit of faith that Father God has. We having that same spirit of faith that Father God has. According to what is written, and then look what it says. I believed and I spoke. Same spirit of faith, therefore we can believe, and if we believe, we should be speaking. Now let me be honest with you. Of a lot of things that I have had the privilege of teaching, and I would say this is true for any of you who have taught, one of the things that people have the most problem with is this speaking because you believe it and claiming it is mine. Blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. Has there been some abuses of it? Maybe. But are we going to throw the baby out with the bathwater? No. We're going to be wise as Solomon, so that we can discern the word and apply it in our lives. Now, as I was praying this morning, I was actually praying in tongues, and the word of the Lord came to me. And he said, my people are having difficulty receiving what I want them to receive because they have difficulty in speaking my word, believing it in confidence. And then he went on to say, in doing so, they are limiting me. Now, many of you would say, limit God? He's going to do what he wants to. That's not how it works. What does the word tell us in Ephesians? How do we receive grace? Through faith. So we play a role in it. We don't work to get his favor, but once we have his favor, We do the work of faith. You remember when the folks came to Jesus and say, we want to do the works that you do. What must we do? And what did he tell them? Believe. The works is to believe that I am the anointed one sent from God. So faith is a part of the works we do from this relationship of grace that we have with him. That's what allows us to receive. So I want to talk today about speaking words. Go to Ezekiel 37 with me. And I'm not going to teach on everything that this scripture means, but I want to point some things out to you. Too many people try to take the precepts of the Bible and do them, and in doing so, without the Spirit, they're doing works. In other words, if you are saying scripture and just saying it because it's there, not from your spirit man, with faith and with confidence, you're trying to work something out. It's like you're trying to grab from God as if you think he's withholding something from you. But you're not. That's not the way we're to speak. I just want you to, you all know this script, these scriptures. This is when Ezekiel was taken to the Valley of the Bones. And I want you to look at, starting verse 3. And he said, verse 37, chapter 37, verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he again said to me, prophesy over these bones. Now, understand here, the Lord is talking to Ezekiel. And the Lord is telling him to speak these words in the earth. Now we say, well, why couldn't the Lord speak them? What did he call him? He called him the Son of Man. And so we're going to go through today and do some looking at why it's important for us to speak the words, and we're going to take it all the way back to creation. But before I finish that, and some of you may think I'm a heretic in what I'm about to say, I am a full believer in the power of the Word of God. But the power of the Word of God doesn't work without the power of the Spirit of God. And we cannot separate them. We cannot just speak words not looking to the Spirit to perform those. That manifesting of the Spirit. And I want you to see this. So he went on, and what did he do? He prophesied what the Lord told him over those bones. And he said they were going to come together in sinews and skin. And they did. And he looked at those bones, and what did he say about them? There's no life in them. Where did the life come from? What did he tell him to prophesy next? Speak to the Ruach. Speak to the four winds of the Spirit, and Spirit come. And that says to me, we're not going to get as far as he wants us to get if we just try to do things with the Word without the Spirit. We got to put the two together so that the Spirit will work. And what you're going to see as we study this is that's what the Spirit is waiting for. The Word of the Lord to be spoken for Him to act. Okay? So, you are carriers of the Spirit. You are carriers of the glory of God, and there's no reason why we shouldn't see it manifest. I would say and submit to you that the Word of God is the glory of God. The Word and Jesus are one, and we can just run that whole rabbit, but I don't think we need to with you. And I believe we're to see it manifest today, in this meeting today, in your life. Things that are wrong in you can be changed in an instant when we begin to declare the Word of the Lord. So I want a spirit of expectation here. Now, if some of you are believing for healing, then I wanted you to have it for you. But others who are not believing for something today for themselves, stretch it out to others that you know have needs here, so that we have expectation today in this room. Now, BJ and I have been confessing for a while that today we're going to see the glory of God manifest. And I want to tell you, when we say that, we add some other words to it. We say we're going to see the glory of God manifest. His manifest presence, His power, and His goodness. Now, I don't have time to teach on that, but you can go back to Exodus 33:34, and you can tie all those together with the glory of God. Why do I say that? Because so many people just believe the glory of God is that weighty cloud coming in. I'm going to tell you, the glory of God can be represented in a cloud as it was to the children of Israel. It can be represented in the cloud as it was with Solomon. But when that cloud is there, His presence is there, His power is there, and all of His goodness towards you is available for us to reach out and take boldly what the Spirit is bringing. So that's what we see from Ezekiel 37. I also want to say that the Word of God reveals not only His will, but it also reveals the character and the nature of God. And you cannot separate those things. You cannot see them as separate, and we need to remind ourselves that. I also want to say that what the Lord said back in all the way through eternity, what He spoke and what is revealed to us in this Word is the same today and carries the same power today as it did back then. Because what does he say in Malachi? I am the Lord and I change not. So, with that, let's go to Genesis 1. We won't go to Mark 11 right now. We'll probably get to that later on. Genesis 1, and this will be easy to find the verse because it's the first one. Now, what I want us to do this morning is I want us to build faith. And how does faith come? By hearing and hearing the word anointed. Word of God, but it's actually word of the anointed. So I want you to hear the anointed word from the Holy Spirit who dwells within you this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. This is key. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. I'm going to ask the question in a moment. What was the Spirit of God doing just moving over the surface of the waters? And then this next phrase says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I like the Young's literal translation, which says, let there be light. And then it says, and light is. Now Hebrews tells us, in Hebrews 11:3, don't turn there. By faith we understand that the world was prepared, worlds were prepared by the word of God. And so we just saw here that God spoke. So I want to ask a couple of questions that are very simple. Whose words were spoken? God's word. Light be. That's literally what it said. And we know the result. Who spoke the words? Now, some of you are thinking God did, and some of you are thinking because of what John 1:1 says, it might have been Jesus. Let's don't worry about that. Let's just say that God did, because they're one. Okay? So let's just say, who spoke the word? God did. Now, we having the same spirit of faith says, therefore, we believe then we spoke. So, why or how were those words created when God spoke them? Because I would submit to you, He was speaking them in faith. That's how He operates. He was speaking faith-filled words. In other words, God's words, He believed that when He spoke those words, they were going to come to pass. Does that kind of sound like what He's asking us to do? You know Mark 11, 23 and 24. I think it's very close to that. So He believed that that would happen when He spoke. So now let's just take a step back and let me ask the questions a little differently. How did God release His faith, or how did God make His faith operative? He spoke. God created by speaking faith-filled words that He had confidence that would come to pass. He did not create by His hands. Everything we see today in this universe was created by what? Words. Words that He believed would come to pass when He spoke them. Now, for me, these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, today they're just as powerful, we said, as they were then. So, what should I believe when we go back to what Trey taught about us having the same spirit of faith? Should I be believing that therefore, when I believe, I speak, and having that same spirit of faith as the Father, I should expect them to come to fruition today just like they did? Just like they would for Him? Does that give us an idea of why Reinhard Bonnke said that the Lord told him, my words in your mouth, Reinhard, are just as powerful as my words in my mouth? That ought to apply to each of us because that's the standard we have from God. Now, the same faith that He used to believe His words is where? Say, in me. The same faith that God used to create words is in you and I. Now go to Genesis 1:26. And I'm just going to do some basic teaching, just laying out verse by verse a few things so that we walk away this morning knowing that when I speak God's word, He hears me. And I know when He hears me, He will accomplish that for me. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So let's talk about a couple of those things. Let us, three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Why would He want us to be made in His image? And I would submit two reasons. Number one, so that we can fellowship with Him. And number two, so we can operate just as He did in creation that we just looked at. In other words, we speak because we believe, and things happen because of the words we speak. What else did He do? He gave Adam dominion over this world. He said, "Rule it." He says it several times in the next couple of verses. And so what is God doing then? God is giving Adam dominion over His creation. Now, if God is giving Adam dominion over His creation, that means God is letting him have the responsibility for it. Therefore, if all things are upheld by the word of His power, as it says about Jesus in the world today, then what is He doing to man? He's saying, it's up to you. What did He tell Adam? Increase. He multiplied. But I don't believe He just meant in terms of numbers of people. I believe He wanted the garden to spread over all the earth. How do you believe Adam was supposed to have that garden spread over all the earth? You think it was by toil and labor? No, that was before the next thing we're going to talk about. He was to speak just like His Creator did to cause that garden to expand and grow, just like He did. Now, we know that He gave Him that authority because it says when the animals were brought to Him, He named them, and that's what they became. And that's literally what the word says. When He named them, that's what they became. So Adam's got authority in this earth. And then we get to Genesis 3. So turn there. And in Genesis 3, the first verse, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman," the serpent, through the spirit of Lucifer in him, spoke and said to him, "Has God said?" And then he made the statement, "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Has God said? What is he trying to get man to do? Doubt, question, what? The word of the Lord. Have you ever had the devil tempt you with that? He's trying to get him to see, get her to see. He wants her to see and to think that God's word, maybe, maybe not. Now he keeps this up because look at the next question that he asked in verse 4. He says, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall surely not die.'" What's he questioning again? The word. Now look what he questions. "For God knows in that day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So what is he questioning now? What is he trying to get Eve to have doubts about? He's already questioned God's word. Can you depend on it? Now he's questioning the very integrity of God. And that's what the devil does to you and I today. He wants us to not only doubt the words and their ability to be creative or to accomplish what God said they were. He wants us to doubt and have questions about the very integrity of God. This is what he's doing in trying to deceive Eve here. Now, if he wants us to have doubt about God's words, what is that leading to? Me having doubt about God's words when they're spoken by my mouth. Do I need to say that again? He wants me to have doubts about God's words being performed when they're spoken by my mouth. Now, he's also questioning God's integrity. So, he will question your integrity. He'll accuse you of not being in faith. He'll accuse you of not deserving what you're speaking. But it's not about what you're deserving, because my judgment was in the past. It's about what Jesus did for me in making this available to me. When you know a person's character and nature, you know how they're going to react in every situation. That's why it's important that when the pressure comes on you and you turn to the Father, that you know His character, so you are absolutely certain that this is going to be His response. What's going to be His response? What the Word says about it. And so it was true then with her, and she was deceived, and it's true today. And that's how the devil wants us to limit ourselves with God. And if you believe that, well, I can't limit God. I mean, God's going to do what God's going to do. That's not what Psalm 78, I think it's verse 41 says. Talking about the children of Israel, it says they limited God through their unbelief. So we can do that. We can have an impact on that. Now, the Word of God is the same as the integrity of the one who first spoke it. He said he took his name and his word and he elevated them both. Some translations say word above name. What that says to me is that both are worthy of trust or trustworthy. Both God and His Word are trustworthy. Now, Psalms 15 verse 4, let me read it to you. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He, talking about the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. What is that saying, Minton? That's saying that when God speaks something, it is established. And even if it causes him some pain, let me say it in South Georgia language, he ain't changing it. He's going to stick with it. It's going to be the same. In Psalm 89, verse 34, it says that he will not break covenant nor alter the words of his lips. So we have assurance after assurance that the Word of God is true. So let's just ask the question here and get ahead of ourselves a little bit. Has God ever spoken to you, either with a word directly or through a word from Scripture? Can you bank on that word? Will God break that promise to you? God will not. It's not the Word of God that is tested. The Word of God is testing us to see whether we'll be like Joseph and endure it. But what did Joseph constantly do during this long time? He constantly recounted what the Lord had told him, the vision he had given him, what was going to happen to him, that he would prosper, that he would not go under. Even when the bad circumstances came about, he stayed there. Now, after this, what happened? Well, the devil became the god of this world. Man abdicated responsibility, the authority that he'd been given, and gave it to Mary. But God had a plan, didn't he? So what did God begin to do from that point on? What did the Father do? He had prophets all throughout the Old Testament days proclaim the coming of the Lord. He talked about how he was going to be born. He talked about where he was going to be born. He talked about stars. He talked about everything pertaining to it. And then the Word says, and in the fullness of time. Well, what does that phrase mean to you? I would submit to you that it means When God had spoken, how did He speak it now? Through the prophets. Through the Son of Man. Through man. When God had spoken all that He needed to speak concerning Jesus, I would say now was the fullness of time. And then what happened? Angel comes to Mary. This is God's plan. How was Jesus conceived? By the Spirit. How about if we say by the Word of God? Because that's what was proclaimed about the seed being planted. Now, why is it important that man spoke it? Because we are the ones who have the dominion over this earth. We're the ones who can speak things and it comes about. The devil can't speak things and it just happens. He has to do it through people. So we'd ask the question, how was Jesus conceived? By the Word of God. Now, I would submit to you that it was not just by the word of the angel to her, but it was by all those other words that made up all the things that need to be said in the fullness of time that was spoken by who? The prophets. But whose words were they speaking? God's words. So again, I just want to emphasize, man is having to speak. Now, the angel declared to her what had been spoken by God, what had been spoken by man, and what was her response? Be it to me according to your rhema word. That live word. That word for the time now. So, what was the Holy Spirit doing back in Genesis 1? Roaming over the earth. Hovering over the earth. I would submit to you he was waiting for the Word of God upon which he acts. What was the Holy Spirit doing here when Jesus was conceived by the incorruptible seed? What was he doing waiting for Mary to say, be it according to me, be it unto me according to your word? It's our words, faith-filled words, words of the Lord that we can go to the bank on, that I believe releases the Holy Spirit and our angels to go act on our behalf. Jesus was conceived by the Word of God. Everything about His birth was natural except the sperma or that incorruptible seed that came from the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is born. How did he most often refer to himself? As the Son of Man. He did that, I believe, for a couple of reasons. One was so that his identity would be created with us, so that he could take on the cross everything that we had been doing, that we are doing today, that had been placed on him. But I also believe he stressed it so that the world's that we don't see around, the spirit world realm that we don't see, would hear him say, I'm saying this as a man. Because he had to lay down his deity privileges, and he could not operate as God, because what did God do in Genesis 1? He gave the authority to man. So my whole point in this is, when Jesus lived on this earth, he was speaking whose word? The word of the Father. I only do what I see and I only say what I hear. He's speaking the words of the Father as a man because he had authority to do so. That was part of the Father's plan. Now, you can look at Psalm 115, verse 16. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to who? How about if we say you and I? Because we're that one today. Now, how did Jesus live? And let's talk about healing in particular. I don't find in the Bible anywhere where Jesus prayed in the sense that most of the church thinks about praying for someone to be healed. I don't see him going and saying, "Oh Lord, if it's your will, please heal." There's no begging. There's no trying to take it out of his hands. And let me say, if you're trying to pray to take something out of God's hands that he don't want to give you, you're wasting your time. So, how did Jesus operate? Well, he placed the demand by speaking words on what God had promised. Mark 1, 41. What did he say to the leper? Be cleansed. No long prayer. Be cleansed. What did he say with the man to the man with the withered hand in Mark 3, about verse 4 or 5? Stretch forth your hand. But the man couldn't stretch forth his hand. But when Jesus spoke those words, and the Holy Spirit acted, and the man tried to act on what he couldn't do, he got as far as he could go, and what happened? The Holy Spirit took over, and the glory of God manifested in his body. How about when Jesus had the man on the cot let down through him? And it wasn't a cot, it was a rug, which is says something about faith anyway. But what did Jesus say to this man? Because they questioned Jesus. And he said, which is easier to say? He did not say, which is harder for me to say? He said, which is easier? That says to me, I was speaking the word is not hard, it is easy, and it ought to be as natural as you and I talking on the telephone. Which is easier to say? And what did he say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? We see over and over, this is how Jesus lived as a man. Yes, a man anointed by God. Yes, a man anointed with the same Holy Spirit that resides in you. But this is how he lived. And you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's go to Acts then, about the third chapter with Peter and John. And what did they say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I
have.
Such as I
have.
Does that mean that they possessed something that they could speak and it would come to be? As silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. No. Well, we're going to go hold a prayer meeting, and if we pray hard enough, the Lord will heal. No. Speak the word naturally. Which is easier to say? And you say, well, I need another one, because you said about a word of two or three. Well, Peter with Dorcas, when she had died. Peter goes in there, and this is key to me. He doesn't just start spouting off over a dead body. He kneeled down, and what did he do? He heard the word of the Lord to speak. And when he heard the word of the Lord to speak, all he had to do was speak it. Tabitha, arise. And the dead came to life, just like those bones, because those words brought spirit back into her. The spirit of life back into her. So, who was the voice of God's words when he was on the earth? Jesus was. He spoke it all the time. Then when he ascended, what did he say to his disciples? All power and authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. So, who became the voice of the Lord? When Jesus went up, his disciples and those who followed, including all those in the upper room, and guess what? That army is still growing today. Now, how about today? Do the words of Jesus still apply to us today? So, when we lay hands on the sick and say, be whole, hips, in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to say them like I believe it now. Be whole, hips, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What should we expect to happen? we should expect a manifestation on the Holy Spirit flooding her right now in the name of Jesus. Creative miracles taking place. Taking place. This is not about me. Put your hands on Jesse there, one of you. In the name of Jesus, we call her whole in Jesus' name. We call her walking and leaping and praising God. For Mr. Ollie, in the name of Jesus, body, you respond to the Word of God and be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's don't quit there. If you have something going on in your body today, then let's take a moment and let's tune everybody else out. And don't be concerned somebody next to you is going to hear anything. But you begin to speak to your body and tell it to conform to the word of the Lord that He's given you concerning it. And what should we expect? Where's the Holy Spirit? He's going around the earth. He's going around the earth looking for the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm looking for my word to do what? To hasten to perform it, to make it come about. So take a moment right now and speak to your own body. Okay? But we speak life to this body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. In Jesus' name. All right, let's stop there for a second. I want to go a little bit further, if you'll let me. Do you know that because Jesus operated like this in faith, which meant He understood the love of the Father because faith worketh by love, that He had zero fear of the devil? He knew He was the one with authority, not the enemy. So let's don't ever, when the devil speaks to us, think that his word has power that will even come anywhere close to anything that you carry. And in that, operating in that perfect love, operating in that perfect love will cast out all fear from you. There's no worrying to go on. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he coming to steal? How about he's coming to steal the word? What did he come to steal from Eve? The word. Now, that scripture says he comes to steal and. It doesn't say or. It says and. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So I would submit to you then, if he can't steal the word, then he can't kill and destroy. If he can't steal the word. Now that says to me we need to change the focus of what we're looking for sometimes related to receiving healing. Take our eyes off the pain. Take our eyes off what's wrong with us and put it where? Back on the word so that we can get that faith to rise up and speak that word and watch it work in us. The word of God will never fail me. I can only fail the word of God by not speaking it in faith. The word of God will not fail you. Psalm 118:89 says, thy word, maybe it's 119:89, probably is, thy word is settled in heaven forever. Joshua 21:45 says, not one of the good promises which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. They all came to pass. They all came to pass. I heard this said recently, and we'll stop here, and we'll just pick up talking about speaking the word and how we pray it and believing and receiving and thanksgiving and the role all that plays next time. So I still didn't get to Mark 11:23. But I heard this said, if you say, I can, you're right. If you say, I can't, you're right. Now, do you understand what I'm saying there? If you say I can, because you know the Word says I can, I have been made an overcomer. Let me just stop there for a second. 1 John, again. When were you made? Why are you made an overcomer? What happens for you to be made an overcomer? What does the next word say? We've been made an overcomer because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. So you think of an overcomer as somebody who's got to get mature faith. They got to be in the Word for 20 years. Why are you an overcomer? Because greater is He that is in you that is in the world. When did He that is in you come in you? When you had born again level faith. That same faith, we think too much about levels instead of realizing we can use what we were given when the Spirit of God came to dwell inside us. Lord, I need to land this airplane. Let's just stop here today by saying, speak the Word of God in faith without wavering, and you will receive what you are declaring or asking. Now, the Lord being very merciful to us has given us different ways that we can receive. Speaking the Word over ourselves is one. But if you have any reservations today that you need, or concerning that for yourself, and you need someone to lay hands on you, and Trey and Robert and I, or others in the room, because the same Spirit that's on us is in every one of us. So if anyone wants to have hands laid on them, we'll do it as you would like. Father, take this Word, and Holy Spirit, we ask you to plant it deep with us. Open our hearts wide so that we may receive the Word of the Lord and walk in this broad, wealthy place that you've provided for us to be able to be carriers of your Word and to speak and declare it in Jesus' name. And declare we walk in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Every step we take, we claim is our ground. It's our territory. And we reclaim what the enemy has stolen from your body in Jesus' name. Amen.